The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong.
I shouldn't be posting things like that before I go live. It's too darn funny. Oh, Lord. Good evening. Welcome to the second hour of the National Intel Report for Tuesday night. Jeff Bennett here with another installment of Protecting Your Wealth. It has been an interesting day. It's Tuesday. We've not been together since last Thursday. It's some interesting response to last Thursday's offerings. Always enjoyable to hear from folks. Had some calls today about a number of things. Oh, by the way, before I forget, Jerry, and I know you're going to be listening to the rerun later tonight, Jerry, I've lost your phone number. Call me back. I wrote it down on a piece of paper other than where I'd been making notes, and unfortunately, I think that piece of paper's been shredded. So, Jerry, call me tomorrow. Don't call me at 2 o'clock in the morning, please. My sleep is just, I'm not getting enough of it. How's everybody doing tonight? Interesting markets. I've not looked at them for a number of days. I tend to pay attention to metals markets throughout the course of the day, but I don't necessarily take a look at what's going on in Wall Street. Janet Yellen has announced that she is, because Trump's made it pretty plain and clear, he has no interest in offering her a redo, that she's resigning. But she, interestingly enough, came out and made a statement today, which, of course, is just as bogus as can be anyway, talking about inflation being below 2%, and that goal poses one of the biggest challenges to the Fed. Well, Janet, if you would try being a little bit more honest with the people and understand that the bogus 2% inflation rate you use is a jury-rigged deal. It doesn't include gasoline. It does not include food. It does not include oil-related products. You know, you've got to go to some place like Walmart to buy a gallon of milk cheap. You go to Walgreens, it's a buck and a half higher for the same gallon from the same dairy. It's insanity. So let's talk about the reality of real inflation. 8 to 10% is what the average person out there is seeing. Of course, Social Security will get you maybe a 2% hike for next year. It's pure insanity, just insanity. But that's a side issue. So let's take a look at what the markets did today. I predict we'll see the Dow at above 23.6 tomorrow, which isn't a hard one. They were up 160 points today to close at 23,590. The S&P 500 up nearly 17 points to close at 25.99. They're 97 cents away from 2,600. NASDAQ up 71 points today. NASDAQ has been on a holy terror for the last couple of weeks. They're currently at 68.62. Global Dow, you know, they're just below 3,000. They're at 29.76. Oil up another 32 cents today at 57.15. Boy, they're pumping it up. You start looking at the percentages of what oil has done over the last month, and I'm telling you something, it certainly exceeds that 2% figure, I think. Goldman Sachs for next year has a rational exuberance to drive stock market in 2018. I don't quite know what the heck that means. What is rational exuberance? You're either exuberant about something or you're not. Maybe rational is somewhere in between. It's a real joke. Let's see. Charting a November breakout attempt. S&P 500 rattles the cage on the 2600 mark. It's going to do it, man. Come on. We're, you know, you're 97 cents shy of 2,600. Whoopee-doo, a real tough one to make. Let's 2, we've got here, were you affected by a massive hack of Uber? Well, considering I've never been in touch with Uber, I don't really care. I'm more concerned still about the massive hack on Equifax from some years ago, or some weeks, months ago. And that's what's going on here. So the soaring cryptocurrency looks ready to bust even higher. That, according to the Chart Watcher, I love this headline. How to talk to your family about Bitcoin at Thanksgiving dinner. You know, that's only good if you invested in Bitcoin 10 years ago and it broke 8,000 this year. Then I guess you've got something to give thanks for. Let's move on. Over in the metals markets today, interesting day. Rhodium flat at $1,375, but that is $25 higher per ounce than it was last Thursday. Palladium is flat today at $992. Platinum still dirt cheap at $933. It's up a buck. It's up a buck. You know what? Platinum's been floating at $933 for over a month. Silver, in the aftermarket, it's up a couple of pennies, but it has dropped slightly below the $17 figure at $16.96 an ounce. Gold in the aftermarket up $1.20 at $1,281.20 an ounce. Can I tell you what's stupid about that? That is 20 cents higher per ounce that it was sitting at exactly 1 month ago today. It's that time of the year. Not the one Andy Williams sings about. That's the reality of what we're facing. One more interesting thing. The pirate got busted again today. The pirate. What's the pirate? J.P. Morgan, the pirate. Don't you know? They got busted laundering money, after having called Bitcoin a money laundering tool. I guess we could score one for the poetic irony pages. 2 months after J.P. Morgan, the pirate CEO, Jamie Dimonstein, lashed out at Bitcoin, calling it a fraud, which was worse than tulip bulbs, warning it won't end well, which I tend to agree with. He said it's going to blow up or implode, and someone's going to get killed. Why? Do they know the Clintons? And he threatened that any trader trading Bitcoin will be fired for being stupid, as it was merely a tool for money laundering. But today, Swiss daily Handelszeitung reported the Swiss subsidiary of J.P. Morgan was sanctioned by the Swiss regulator FINMA over money laundering and seriously violating supervision laws. You know, between UBS, you know what my belief is, UBS Bank, UBS, whatever. Between UBS, J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo are the predominant ones. Maybe Citibank was involved there. The fraudulent stuff that these banks have done, and they get hit with massive fines in the millions and billions of dollars, and they don't care. They just keep paying them because they've sucked in so much money. The roll of the dice is, if we get caught, well, we'll pay. If we don't get caught, we got away with it. Is this stupid or what? And who pays for it? You do. I do. We pay for it with lower interest rates in our so-called savings, or certificates of depreciation, certificates of death, whatever you want to call them. It's very frustrating to me to watch this kind of stuff. And so, we take a look at hurricanes. Why? What do hurricanes have to do with anything? We have had this year this massive spate of back-to-back hurricanes, all of which is expected to compound the economic damage of an already overextended debt. And we're seeing this in these budget discussions and these tax discussions in Congress. So the stock market's getting ready for a correction. They don't know if it's big, bad, ugly, nothing. Traders are inclined to sell out of riskier stock markets and take refuge in safe havens. But places like gold, yeah, it's going to take months for the impact of the hurricane season to be apparent, and investors are already losing appetites for risk. Investors are investing in secure assets like gold. All of these things was, this stuff was evident from the figures leading up to the hurricane season this year. Gold watchers have seen the precious metal on a summer turnaround. It spiked up to 1,300. It fell back down, came back up. You know, it's holding its own. Is it breaking the bank? No. I don't see any major problem. I'm looking at a chart right now that shows an 18-month gold chart of April of 2016 up to September of 2017. Back in April of 16, it was at about $1,250. It fell all the way down to about 11 and a quarter. Currently sitting in the, it was up to 1350. It's back down to 1281 or something like that. But one has got to kind of forget the short term. I had a long talk with a really nice gentleman from back east this afternoon, inquiring about small purchases of silver, some copper. I had another talk with a guy last week. Jerry, I lost your phone number. Call me. I don't say that facetiously. I had a long talk with Jerry, and I was working on some stuff for him, and totally flat misplaced his phone number. It's driving me crazy. I could throw darts, and I could go back into my calling log, and I could guess, but I don't want to do that. Historical five-year volatility of gold has witnessed a brief 2016 July surge in the aftermath of the surprise Brexit vote. You know, that's the one where they pulled out. Gold prices rose sharply, driven by macroeconomic uncertainty caused by the unexpected EU referendum. Prices peaked at $1,372 an ounce in August of last year, but then they dove 7.63% in November of 2016. They finished at a record low of $1,133. Well, that's not a record, but, you know, given the scheme of things. Presidential pro-business policies buoyed the equity markets, strengthened the U.S. dollar, driving investors away from gold. Gold prices plunged by nearly 5%. They notched to a record low of $1,143 in early January of this year, days before Trump was sworn in. I'm sure that a lot of that was, oh, Hillary didn't get in. I want to sell my gold. According to a Forbes magazine commentary, all of that could be attributed to fluctuations in the investment demand for gold. Another reason why gold prices remain under pressure was a strengthened dollar, which it tends to make the commodity more expensive for investors. But, my friends, we've got to understand there are different types of investors going into the gold market. What kind of investors are actually being discussed here? Are these the kind of investors that call up and call Kettle Moraine or RBN and say, I want to order $100,000 or $200,000 or $300,000 worth of gold? Or are they, in fact, is Sneaky Bob in here? Hi, Sneaky Bob. Honey, I'm on the radio right now. They'll be back, sweetie, but Papa's on the radio right now. You have to wait. After I get off the radio, I'm going to punch your lights out. She's my six-year-old. She's welcome to come in here anytime she wants. But she can't talk when I'm on the radio or I kick her booty. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay.
It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Okay, I get two fists on the nose. All right. Sorry, folks, but that's the basis of what my life is, my grandchildren. And she's my precious six-year-old, and she's going through some issues right now. Mommy and Daddy both been sick, and she understands it, but she's calmed down a little bit. So she just likes to come in and see me. Sometimes she'll come sit in my office for hours at a time, just play. Anyway, where did I leave off? Okay, so we're talking about there's two different kinds of investors in gold. Yeah, there's people that'll come in here and spend $200, $300, $400, $500 at a time. They'll buy an ounce of gold, a quarter an ounce, whatever the case may be. Those are real, by God, Americans. These are people like yourselves who understand that economically, unlike the words of Ethel Merman, things ain't coming up roses. We all see this. the headlines that we continue to see, it seems to go on and on and on. The massive increases in the cost of the Affordable Care Act, so-called Obamacare. States that are being just shoved out of it. Oh, but then we hear 1.5 million people signed up this year. But then we read the sub stuff that says out of that 1.5 million, these are people that have been in it before and dropped out. Now they're coming back in. There's no gains. I read something yesterday that talked about the Obamacare is now going to be facing somewhere between 35% and 40% of a family's annual income. No one can survive that. I read a piece last night that was a little bit of satire about somebody who claimed that, oh yeah, we went in to get glasses. It was great. It was only $100 for the glasses and the eye exam and the whole nine yards. But that's after they'd forked out $8,000 for an annual premium. This is insane. Better get old and get Medicare, folks. I'm telling you, better. I spend so little out of pocket on Medicare. Unfortunately, my dental work has cost me big time, but that's okay. I can live with it. So we've got those who buy physical gold. Their idea of investing is investing for long-term security. You know, the problem is it's where you buy. I had a call from a woman the other day that a longtime listener of RBN, and I'm not going to get into the story right now because it's frankly a horror story. I'm still waiting for one more bid. She has a very large, I hate to use the term collection, of gold pieces, and she told me what she'd paid for them, and it was sickening. She told me when she bought them, and my stomach was turning because I had a pretty good inclination. But the fact of the matter is, gold is gold is gold, but it ain't. Okay? And there's a reason for that. There are companies out there who specialize in lining their own pockets at your expense. Now, look, we make no bones about it. We offer products here on the airwaves that we receive a profit of. But that doesn't mean because you spent $1,000 with us or $10,000 or $40,000 or $50,000 or $100,000 that $100,000 goes into the hands of RBN. No, there's a cost of buying those goods. And we are lucky to see 1% to 2% of some of these goods. Some of the goods bring a little bit more, but still well within the market myths. And when I see people getting hornswoggled into buying outrageous numbers of so-called certified coins, you know, first of all, it's $25 to $35 per coin to get them graded. The only advantage this woman has is that her coins were graded very early. And I almost wish I had them in my possession because I think I could do her a better job. But she's not sure she wants to sell. She needs to get some rough idea of the cost factors. You see, the earlier coins were graded at a far more exacting process. And there was no monkeying around. But then when the grading companies were not certifying as many coins, they decided, well, we can lower our standards a little bit, and maybe some of these coins we graded 63 will grade a 64, or maybe we can get a 65 out of it. And of course, the grading companies turn around and crank out $35 fee for every coin done. So you take $10, $15, $20,000 coins, and you get an extra $35 a coin for a regrade, you know where the profit's going. I know of a Korean family that when they came to this country back in the 1950s, they began to collect old American coinage. And they had compiled an unbelievable collection, a full collection of 1909 U.S. coins. And the only reason I knew this is because I physically was able to inspect them at one point in time. Every single coin was graded very high grade mint state, except for the penny. And that penny had been resubmitted 52 times. 52 times to get it regraded. Well, my God, are you kidding? If all you did was increase the grade by two digits, 52 times $35, that's an $1,820 cost to get those coins regraded. And I guarantee you, even if they'd gotten the increase in grade, they would not have been able to pull that kind of money out of it. So the point I'm trying to bring up is that, once again, there are two kind of gold buyers. There are, well, maybe three. There are those who buy very rare gold coins, super high grade, low mintage, low population, truly rare coins, graded, some cases not graded. You know, if you understand the grading of coins from basically 0 to 70, although the lowest number I've ever seen is a 4, it's just because they've got to have a bottom ground somewhere. They don't want to make somebody think they've got a coin that's 0. So from 4 to 70, coins that grade from 4 or 2 up to 59 have had one degree of circulation or another. Okay? You've got fine, which sounds good, but it isn't. It's been pretty well spent. That would grade, I think, a 20 on the scale. An extra fine would grade 40. An AU would grade up into the high 50s. Then you get into your mint state coins, which would grade, and these are coins that were minted and meant to be spent, but never were. Any coin that would grade from 60 to 69, or, you know, 60 to 69 or 70, would be a mint state coin. The higher the number, the more perfect and closest to the condition was in the day it was minted. But most of them sat in bags. Bags have gotten moved around, shipped to Europe, shipped back, whatever the case may be. But there's also another grade that runs from 60 to 70, and those are your proof coins. Very few of those in the old days were ever minted. They were typically minted at the written request of collectors. So true collectors are one type of gold buyer, as they would be for other American coins. Seated Liberty, the Barber Series, the Indian Series gold pieces, whether it be the Princess or the Headed Indian, Morgan dollars, Peace dollars, whatever. But now let's go back to gold. The two primary types of gold buyers are those like Wall Street people. They're buying gold in ETFs. They're buying paper gold. They're signing a contract to buy and hold X number of ounces of gold, 500 ounces, 1,000 ounces, whatever the case may be. They're putting up a percentage. But the point is, they'll never take possession of that gold. Never. That was never the intent anyway. It's a roll of the dice. It's a gamble. It's no different than playing the roulette table in Vegas. Those kind of people tend to move the markets because they're moving large volumes of gold. And these could be hedge funds. They could be large banking institutions. They could be major nations. All right, they're not really intending on taking possession of the gold. It's like the old Bruce Willis movie, Die Hard Part 3. They're going to have it shipped from one vault to another. It's going to sit 7 floors below ground at the Federal Reserve Bank in New York, waiting for the brother of the dead guy from Die Hard Part 1 to come in and break the bank and steal the stuff. And then there's the third type of gold buyer, and that's you and I. We understand enough about history to know just how far down the road we are. Do you remember last month I told you a story about at the age of 10? Now that was almost 10 years ago, folks. Sitting in a bank vault in Wisconsin, picking out Peace dollars out of a canvas bag in a bank vault. A U.S. silver dollar with 90% silver content that physically contained 0.77 of an ounce of silver. Just a hair over 3/4 of an ounce. The face value on that coin was a dollar. Basically, they'd stopped minting those in the early 1930s, maybe late 1920s. I don't have it in front of me. And I paid a dollar for every one of those I bought. I was not a rich kid at the age of 10, but I did things and I saved money. There was nothing to spend it on. You know, nothing. I didn't have video games. I didn't have all this crap that kids buy today. I wasn't even buying prophylactics at 10. And I say that to be, excuse the term, but a little tongue-in-cheek, but think about it for a minute. I paid a buck a piece. What does that 1958 $1 Federal Reserve note buy today? It still says a dollar on it, and it buys 2, 3, 4, 5 cents worth of what it bought back in those days. Whereas the peace dollar that I bought for a buck in 1958 also still says $1 on it. But in the condition that we talked to you about a month ago, they're worth 28 bucks. Gold's no different. Back in the 1800s, the 1840s and 50s, all the way up to 1931, 32. A $5, a $10, a $20 gold piece said $5 on it, or $1, or a $3, or a $4. Or it said $10, or it had a face value of $20. It spelled it right on there, T-W-E-N-T-Y, dollars. And you could use a $20 bill, an old U.S. banknote, a gold certificate, a silver certificate, a $20 bill to buy one of those $20 gold pieces. What's that $20 going to buy for you today? My God, my granddaughter and I went to, we went somewhere the other day, and we each ordered something. Something that shouldn't have gone for more than $5, $6 cost us $14. For a Big Mac and an order of fries and a drink, and she got the number two meal, which is two cheeseburgers and an order of fries and a drink, $14? Are you out of your mind? That's insane. My God, how much would it cost me to buy a pound of burger and make two really good ones? Pack of burger buns are cheap. Coke is cheap. 7-Up is cheap. Dr. Pepper is cheap. It sure wouldn't cost any damn $14. Yeah, the French fries might be a little problem, but yeah, I can buy a bag of frozen ones and stick them in the broiler. The $20 gold piece is worth what? A minimum of $1,300. You sure buy a hell of a lot of Big Macs for that, folks. That's the way you have to think about it. That's long-term wealth preservation. How many dollars can you turn that $20 gold piece back into today? So I don't worry too much about charts. I don't worry about the hurricane season. I don't worry about gold on short term. I look at long term. I look at what's life going to be for my granddaughters when they get to be 30, 40, 50 years of age. I mean, I got one that's going to be 30 years of age in another 12 and a half years. That's spooky. Don't know if I'll still be around for her. I hope so. She's my girl. But these are the kind of things you think about. These are the reasons we buy gold, buy silver. In a very small circumstance, a small amount of copper as well. Yeah. Look, you go to Catamarine Precious Metals and look under the asset vault, you'll see something called the Copper Vault. Read it. Take a look at it. You might understand. Hey, we got a break coming up. Stick around. We'll be back in a couple minutes. We're going to take this a little further.
No reason to get excited.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
I've been loving the Floyd, man. Yeah. There's a lot of other money-related songs we've got out there. I should dig some more of them up for Michael to use in the studio. It's worth doing. It's interesting. I started going in a particular direction during the first half hour and realized that the last 12 to 14 minutes was completely a cappella. Yes, it was off the cuff, straight from the heart. It's experience. And you know, nearly 30 years professionally dealing with things of a precious metals nature, whether it be gold or silver bullion, whether it's junk silver, some occasional rarities for high-line clients that have the wherewithal, that are looking for something a little bit more special. Yes, I have the ability to do that. But the largest percentage of our clients are not those Wall Street type investors. They're looking to buy into something, make a buck. Hey, if it goes up, you know, X number of bucks an ounce, hey, I got 10,000 ounces. I can go ahead and take $5-6 and bail out and, you know, make 50-60,000 bucks just like that. That's you and I are hoping that for our children and grandchildren that they're going to be able to take advantage of the $50,000-$60,000 because inflation is just going to keep driving the cost of everything up. So, you know, the question then comes down to why do we want to base our money on gold? Well, that's a fairly lengthy dissertation that I'm probably not going to have enough time to get into tonight. But understand a couple of simple factors. And this is something to think about very seriously. Remember, we've been effectively off the gold standard as far as gold as a backing for our money only since 1971. But this nation embraced the principle of a gold standard, a dollar whose value was linked to a defined quantity of gold from 1789 to 1971. That was a 182-year stretch. And during that time, the U.S. was the most successful of any major country. They expanded from 13 war-ravaged states along the Atlantic seaboard to a world economic superpower with the broadest and wealthiest middle class the world had ever seen. You see, the U.S. dollar was the premier international currency. New York was the world's financial capital. So if the U.S.'s gold standard policy was a mistake, as nearly all of the academic economists claim today, shouldn't there have been some evidence of all that after nearly two centuries? Shouldn't there have been some kind of negative consequences? Shouldn't there have been some other government somewhere that did even better with maybe a different approach? You see, the last 20 years of that period, the Bretton Woods era, the 1950s and 60s, when the dollar was worth 1/35th of an ounce of gold, was the most prosperous time of the last century, not only in the United States, my friends, but all over the world. Nobody wanted the good times to end. There was never an international conference where governments agreed to adopt a new world monetary system. But when Richard Nixon closed the gold window on August the 15th of 1971, he said it would be a temporary measure. And indeed it was. Nixon himself organized the Smithsonian Agreement a few months later, in which world governments earnestly cooperated to restore the Bretton Woods framework of fixed exchange rates and refix the dollar at $38 an ounce. But you know what happened? They didn't know how to do it. And the immediate result was economic disaster, the stagflation of the 70s. Considerable recovery was achieved in the great moderation of the 1980s and 90s, when the dollar's value was held at about, oh, $350 an ounce worth of gold. By intent or by accident, a crude gold standard system. Of course, Alan Greenspan, who presided over much of that time at the Federal Reserve, had hinted rather heavily that this was on purpose. And Greenspan himself, personally, was a strong proponent of gold. But after 2000, the dollar's value declined again versus gold from about $300 an ounce to around $1,900 an ounce at one time. And then it bounced around rather turbulently. Another era of stagnation and disappointment accompanied by a serial rotation of strange asset bubbles. All these things were the result. Well, Paul Krugman, a leftist, once called this post-1971 experience the age of diminished expectations. Tyler Cowen on the right called it the Great Stagnation. You see, a floating currency chaos and macroeconomic manipulation by central banks was such a brilliant innovation. Shouldn't there have been some evidence of all that after 46 years? For those of us who've been alive throughout most of this, even today the American people can still tell the difference between success and failure. A 2011 poll found that 57% of the voters would favor a gold standard system if it would reduce the power of bankers and political leaders to steer the economy. Only 19% opposed. But then, that was 2011. We're 6, almost 7 years later now, and there's a whole different breed of cat living in this country. Oh, forget all the silly claims that humanity's long affinity for gold-based money is due to some kind of a superstition or a mania or obsession or even a fetish. Economic thinkers have long known the best money is money that is stable in value, in much the same way as other weights and measures, like grams or meters or minutes. They remain fixed. They remain unchanged. But the one essential quality that is needed in the article, which we use as a basis for exchanging all others, is fixity of value. And that was stated by Andrew Carnegie in 1881. And he'd only been repeating what had been conventional wisdom for centuries. And so, we'll, time allowing, return back to this commentary in just a few moments. Because I think what's being said here is important. But a number of things I need to say, and some of you are going to go nuts with my continued repetitiveness of this nature, but Jerry, if you're out there listening tonight, as I said, I've lost your phone number. There's some things I put together for you based on your request, and it's driving me nuts that I can't find your number. So call me tomorrow at 623-327-1778. 623-327-1778. I'm going to give you 5 quick lessons. You'll understand why in just a moment. Gold has got 5 easy, simple lessons to understand. Part of this goes back to what we discussed during the first half hour. Don't buy gold because you need to make money. Buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Secondly, don't look at price as a barrier. Look at price today as an incentive. I like where it's at. Is it $250 the way it was at the beginning of the century? No, it's not. But it's still far below where it is going to wind up being. Once again, deferring back to what we discussed during the first half hour, do not buy gold in the form of its paper pretenders. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. And buy it from a reputable dealer that will take care of you. My goal is basically this, folks. Any of you that call us, this is not my money we're dealing with. It's your money. My goal, my commitment is to get you the greatest amount of specie or goods that I can for the money for you. Yes, we have to make a few bucks for RBN. Oh, by the way, it's that time of the year again, and boy, what's going to happen right after Christmas? The insane ads come out. Why don't they run these ads before Christmas, all these great gifts? But no, right after Christmas, all these glitzy television ads come on. Don't fall prey to those ads. They'll tell you about, oh, you can get 5 of these silver dollars for only $25. And they show you a nice, brilliant, uncirculated piece dollar, whatever the case may be, and what you get are junk. You've been raked over the coals. Don't fall prey to glitzy television ads. Do your due diligence instead. I always invite you to give us a call. Let's see what we can recommend that will help you. Well, there's a wide variety of products I can get you into. I like to keep it real simple. Let's not be stupid. And by the way, the 5th lesson is do not allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interest as you see fit. But I say this to you, don't waste your time arguing with people who are ignorant. Don't waste your time trying to argue and talk them into something that you're interested in doing. And why is that? Because the more you spend time doing that, the more people are going to begin to know that you've done something. More people are going to suspect that you have made some purchases. That's something you don't want. You make your purchases. You don't run down to the plant or the office and show your goods off. Look at this nice gold and silver I got from this here company that I listen to on the radio. You don't want to do that. I had a client that did that years ago. Oh, this stupid punk, he would go down to the Boeing plant he worked at outside of Seattle, showing off all this stuff. Within a few months, his house was robbed. Duh. Now, why do we share all this with you? Because I had something really cool happen today. A client called me who'd done some stuff with me about a month ago, said he wanted to do some more stuff. Said he wanted to do about the same dollar amount. And before we hung up the phone, I still hadn't locked anything in. I wanted to do some shopping for him. He made a deposit directly into my account so we can facilitate his transaction very quickly. He said, you want me to just go to the bank and make the deposit? I said, oh, wait a minute, slow up. Let's see what the heck we can do here. I said, I don't know if we're going to be able to get these for a lower price, a higher price. Well, the interesting thing is silver was down, but gold was up just a little bit. Not a lot. And yet we found out that I was able to do the exact same transaction for him as we had done a month ago. And I want to share that transaction with you because you may find this of interest. We do a wide range of things for people at different levels. I get people to come in here, buy one or two quarter-ounce pieces. I had a gentleman who bought some $20 gold pieces a couple weeks ago. Not high-grade ones. He just always wanted to have a few. Made an offering last week of a marvelous little $2.50 Indian piece, and I think we also offered a dollar piece. And he sent me a note, said he wanted one of the 2.5s. He'd always wanted one. And he's not doing stupid, crazy things. We're getting him some very good buys on, they happen to be pre-1933 U.S. gold pieces, but we're not selling rarities. None of this grossly overpriced certified stuff, okay? I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to share with you an interesting offer we have tonight. And it's the exact same offer that my client picked up earlier today. And I like it because it's a marvelous mix. It gives you safety, it gives you security, and it gives you spendability. The three S's: safety, security, and spendability. And included in this package are 10 quarter-ounce British sovereigns. Now, when I say quarter ounce, that's a little bit misleading. The actual net gold content is 0.2354 of an ounce, just a hair under a quarter of an ounce. And these are the modern Queen Elizabeth bullion coins. Unspent, uncirculated, shiny, new. Very clearly stamped as to what they are. Recognizable all over the world. There's 10 of these coins. There's also, in this case, 85, that's 4.25 rolls, of 1 ounce 999 fine bullion rounds in silver. Now, they're very clearly marked. 1 ounce 999 fine silver. This is a particular silver round that I've dealt with for many, many years. It was first struck in 1983. It's still being struck and issued in the same exact design as 1983. That makes it a recognizable specimen. Some of these companies change their design every couple of years. Well, that doesn't bother me. But it has a specific purpose. You're spending about $2 less per ounce than you would spend for a 1 ounce silver American Eagle. And the thing that's interesting is the coin that mints, the company that mints these 1 ounce bullion rounds, is the same company that furnishes the blank 1 ounce silver discs to the U.S. Mint for striking of the Silver Eagle. Why pay $2 more just because it says United States of America on it and has a face value of $1? That's kind of a joke. 10 gold pieces, 85 pieces of silver delivered to you. for $5,025. That is one heck of a survival package. The gold pieces, pretty darn portable. And the silver gets a little heavier. But you've got spendability. The gentleman that called me today, we started talking about the kind of things that people would barter and trade for. And he trades some stuff to buy the goods to make his wife makes bread. And he said, you know, $5 bread. I said, what do you mean $5 bread? Where are you buying bread? He says, well, my wife makes it. We're buying all the goods and she's making it. And I guarantee it's a far higher quality bread than you're going to get in the grocery store. But the discussion of barter and trade is what came up. That's what becomes important. Whether you're buying and bartering and trading for a tank full of gas, or an oil change, or a bag of food. And I'm not talking about running on over to 7-Eleven and getting a bag of food. Although in the early days, 7-Eleven might be more willing to do a little bit of trading. You know, Donnie Dothead might go ahead and trade for a bag of food. Don't forget to take slushies for the children on the way out the door. That'll be his little freebie to thank you for doing business with him. He wants the silver. Don't think he's not aware of it. I'm not knocking people from India. Don't misunderstand that. I make the point for a real reason. Why is it India is one of the three major countries that buy gold? And now they've moved into silver because gold, there's something funny going on with the whole gold business in India. They're buying silver. You think that the people that live here that are running the motels on Route 66 and the 7-Elevens and the Circle K's and the other privately owned convenience markets, you think they don't know? You think they won't take an ounce of silver under questionable times? Of course they will. You give us a call later tonight. You can give us a call in the morning. 10 each Queen Elizabeth British sovereigns gold bullion coin. Real, genuine realm, genuine coin of the realm. In 87, 1 ounce, 999 fine silver rounds. Pure silver rounds. That's 4 nines, not 3 nines. $5,025 delivered to your door. That's what you want to take advantage of. Now, understand some other things about gold. Oh, and you can call us at, you know, you go to the RBN website. You'll see a little silver bullet in the upper right-hand corner. You click on it. It'll take you right to Kettle Marine Precious Metals. Our phone number's on there, 623-327-1778. Don't call while I'm on the air, please. 623-327-1778. Get your reservation in. I get these things locked in. And if I'm up late enough tonight, I'll lock in with the Zurich office. Wouldn't that be cool? Your order is placed through Zurich, Switzerland. It's probably shipped out of Nevada. Or California. Depends. They've got a number of vaults around the country. Kettle Marine is the official precious metals dealer for the benefit of Republic Broadcasting Network. Every transaction you do is also going to benefit this network. Back to the closing minutes. The market economy's basic processes require a stable monetary unit. Why shouldn't you have some of that stable monetary unit in your hand? Stable meaning long term, not the day-to-day fluctuation. I don't care about that. When the price of oil goes up, more investment and production may follow. Users may reduce their consumption. Now, that's a beneficial and productive response if it is due to real change in the supply and demand of oil, and a nonsensical or destructive response if it is caused by changes in the money, as described in George Gilder's The Scandal of Money. Money acts as a sort of information system for the economy. The economy is guided by the economic signals of price, profit margins, interest rates, returns on capital, the noise of the carrier, the money. must be as little as possible. Well, there's far more into all of this that we are going to have time to get into tonight. But understand that the best way to achieve a fixed value link is with some sort of an automatic system similar to today's currency boards. In practice, currency boards are highly reliable. They're not prone to the kinds of disasters that pegged systems suffer constantly, including the disintegration of the Bretton Woods $35 an ounce gold peg. And all of this is critical knowledge that will enable us to avoid the traumatic outcome and instead create the kind of quiet reliability that the British pound enjoyed for more than two centuries before 1914. Wait a minute. We're talking about the British pound was backed by gold for more than two centuries? And the U.S. dollar was backed by gold for, what, 180-some, 170-some-odd years? Well, 182 years. Boy, things sure seemed to be pretty darn stable during those kind of structures, weren't they? Well, understand that governments should still be ambitious about managing the domestic macroeconomy, but not through monetary distortion. Tax reform, regulatory reform, educational reform, welfare reform, abundant capital creation, and a dozen other bogus advances, all of which promise the kind of fundamental and lasting improvements monetary manipulation can never provide. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot money twiddle your way to prosperity. No country ever has. But somehow, for some reason, some way, we've just never learned that. Because you see, history's been rewritten. They don't want us to know about these things. They don't want us to know just how solid gold really is. Why base your money on gold? Because for over 6,000 years, it has never failed the holders of it. Take advantage of our offering tonight. 623-327-1778. $5,025 will get you 10 gold pieces delivered and 85 pieces of silver. Take advantage. 85 ounces of silver. I think you're going to find it. Hey, you may decide to give some of it out as gifts. I don't know. That's your business. Maybe this time next year, you'll have something to give some more thanks to. Do it as you're able to do it, a little bit at a time. Time, something we're out of. Thanks for sharing your valuable time with me tonight. Have a great Thanksgiving. Don't know when I'll see you again. Haven't even talked to Michael or the crew at the network about it. We'll find out what's going to happen. I'll be around tomorrow, 623-327-1778. Markets may fluctuate a little bit, but we'll do our best to take good care of you. Hey, we're off Thursday and Friday, I'm being told. Okay. You guys take care. I'll be around. Call tonight if you want to. I'll get your reservation in. Take care of yourselves. See you at sundown. We must take America back. We must take America back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.